speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
To introduce our study today, I call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read verse 12 down through verse 19. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Someone has said that in the middle of life, L-I-F-E, both in spelling and in living life, there is a big if. But friends, the greatest of all ifs is suggested by the Apostle Paul in verse 13. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Obviously, at Corinth, there was a problem of someone denying the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And all of life hinges on the resurrection. This was very dear to the Apostle Paul's heart. Indeed, it's the very heart of Christianity. And we notice in these verses seven great ifs. If, if, if. And in this lesson today, we want to look at the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians to notice what the Apostle Paul has to say regarding the resurrection of Christ. Now, the chapter 15 divides itself easily into five ways. In the first 11 verses, Christ is preached that he rose from the dead. Secondly, in verse 12 down through verse 19, if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. Verse 20 through verse 34, but Christ was raised, likewise the dead will be raised. Then verse 35 through verse 49, he deals with how the dead will be raised. And then verse 50 through verse 58, through the resurrection, death is swallowed up in victory. And as time permits today, we want to notice the first section of the first chapter of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Christ is preached that he rose from the dead. The apostle begins by calling attention to the gospel. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So the apostle Paul says the heart of the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He speaks of the gospel as something that can be received. He speaks of our regard for the gospel. He speaks of remission through the gospel. He speaks of reflection upon the gospel. And he says there is refuge in the gospel. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and then of more than 500 people at one time, the better part of them still being alive. So he's giving the testimony of others vouching that the resurrection of Christ indeed took place. But in the second part of the chapter, verse 12 down through verse 19, there were some who were saying that there is no resurrection of Christ. And if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not raised. And there were some horrible things that were the consequence if Christ be not raised. Verse 14, the first horrible consequence is that your faith is vain. man would lose confidence in God and Christ if there was no resurrection. They would lose confidence in the Scriptures. And the other horrible consequence, if there's no resurrection, not only is your faith vain, verse 17, you are yet in your sins. There could be no forgiveness. There could be no ransom. There could be no propitiation. There could be no payment for sins. For you see, the wage of sin is death. Romans 6, 3, verse 23. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. And man would be yet in his sins. Verse 18, another consequence. If Christ be not raised, those who are asleep, those who have died, they've simply perished. They would be without hope, without God. There could be no crown of righteousness. And it would make John 14 meaningless. Yet in John 14, Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Yet if there is no resurrection, those who have died in Christ simply are asleep. They've simply perished. And then verse 19, another horrible consequence, if there is no resurrection. If Christ is not raised, we are of all men most miserable. There would be no hope. We'd simply eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the end of it. But verse 20, but Christ now is risen from the dead and become the first fruits. There's hope. There's rejoicing. And Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, that we're begotten again unto a lively, a living hope. How, Peter, are we begotten to a living hope? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how we're given a living hope. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, we're told about the significance of the resurrection when Paul says that God declared His Son, declared Christ to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. And how did He do that? By the resurrection from the dead. So, in the first 11 verses, Christ and the gospel is preached. Verse 12 down through verse 19, those seven great ifs and the horrible consequence if there is no resurrection. But the third division of 1 Corinthians 15 is verse 20 through verse 34. But Christ has been raised, likewise the dead will be raised. The first fruits of the harvest are the sign of a greater harvest to come. And Christ's resurrection is a sign of the resurrection of all mankind. And it's going to be a universal resurrection. Christ said in John 5, verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which they that are in their graves shall hear His voice and come forth. They that have done good unto a resurrection of life, they that are done evil to a resurrection of damnation, a resurrection of condemnation." And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." So Christ has been raised, and the dead will be raised. And the greatest proof, perhaps, of the resurrection was the martyrdom of early Christians who would rather die for their faith rather than deny the Lord. Verse 20, "As in Adam all died," verse 22, "even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." So there is going to be a resurrection. The next division of 1 Corinthians 15 is verse 35 down through verse 49. That is, just how will the dead be raised? Some man will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? And then he answers the question, verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not made alive except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be. It may be of wheat, a bare grain, some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Paul speaks of the mystery in the connection with death, and he uses the seed illustration. He said, seed is planted, that little seed decays in its process of germinating, and a new plant grows, and it continues to grow. He says the body decays. It's resurrected into a new form. For example, you plant a yellow grain of corn, and when it sprouts, a green sprout that will later turn brown, and then the ear or ears are harvested. The body is planted, a physical body. It decays. It's resurrected a spiritual body. But there's identity in the same process. He said, all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are celestial bodies and there are terrestrial bodies. The glory of the celestial, the glory of the terrestrial, it's different. The glory of the sun, the moon, the glory of the stars. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. In this body, there may be all kinds of weaknesses, deformities, but it's raised a powerful body. And then the last section, verse 50 through verse 58, through the resurrection, death is swallowed up in victory. He says in verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is not the end, my friends. Death will be swallowed up one day. But there is a judgment in which we will give an account of the deeds done in the body. Therefore, my beloved brethren, those who are in a right relationship, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My friend, what's your relationship? Are you in Christ? By virtue of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized into Christ, are you faithfully serving Him? Will there be a victory for you one day?